The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a story about one man's journey from death row executioner to Lutheran pastor. It's titled The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. You can check it out at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Executioner's Redemption is on sale for $12.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Executioner's Redemption.
I hate what people like your client stand for. We're going to prove once and for all that God is dead.
You're passionate about what you believe. I mean, let's face it, it's why you're in trouble in the first place.
A student asked a question about remarks allegedly made by Jesus, and your answer incorporated scripture itself.
Yes. What were you thinking, Grace?
I gave an honest answer to a student's legitimate question. I am not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus.
They're asking that you be fired plus revocation of your teaching certificate.
You're on your own.
They've been dreaming of a case like this.
They want to make an example of you.
Her true motivation was to take an innocent question and turn it into an opportunity to preach.
Honora and Madam Thawley versus Wesley.
Mr. Kane will insist faith isn't on trial here, but that is exactly what is on trial.
You're looking to prove Jesus Christ existed? That's ridiculous.
If we're going to insist that a Christian's right to believe is subordinate to all other rights, then it's not a right. Somebody is always going to be offended.
That's the trailer for the movie God's Not Dead 2. There was a first one of these, and this is the second. Of course, you've probably been seeing it bouncing around social media. What is it about? Is the subject important? Turns out it actually is an important subject, but is the movie good? Can you have a movie that has a good subject that Christians ought to be concerned about and are concerned about, but the movie just isn't put together that well? It's not worthy of the subject, so to speak. We're going to be reviewing God's Not Dead 2. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest, our regular movie reviewer. And then we're going to be talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, will be in Isaiah 65, Judgment and Salvation, coming up in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
We're going to be critical of this movie, God Is Not Dead 2, but to begin with, let's say that this movie and its predecessor, God Is Not Dead, both deal with serious subjects that Christians are and should be concerned about. What is it?
Well, it's freedom of speech when it comes to their personal religious beliefs. So early in the film, in this God's Not Dead 2 film, the main character, Grace Wesley, who's played by Melissa Joan Hart, when it looks like the school board is mounting against her, she says, "I'm not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus." This is the general premise of the film, that Christians should not be afraid to say the name Jesus in their vocation, the work that they do in their life. They should be free to exercise their religion with no abridgment to their free speech concerning it. That's the thing that Christians should be concerned about, and is the real big thing that this movie is about. It is a big concern that we all have, like in the public square. So it goes back to what St. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, when he says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." And what had happened in the film is that a student in the class asked a question about Jesus, and the teacher, this Miss Wesley, then responded back by saying to the question, quoting something that Jesus had said in the Gospel of Matthew, and said that it was from the Gospel of Matthew.
Well, pick up the plot there. What, without giving away too much, how does the plot unfold in God's Not Dead 2?
So, like we were talking about, it kind of starts in the classroom. So it's a student who's asking their teacher about Jesus. This goes against the school board's policy, and then they end up in a court case, which then takes the whole thing from the classroom to the courtroom. And the end of the film, really probably about the two-thirds of the end of the film. So the first third of the film is in the classroom. The last two-thirds are in the courtroom. and it becomes a courtroom drama dealing with whether or not the teacher can say, talk about Jesus, can say the name Jesus within the classroom setting.
So there are two ways we can approach this. One is, does it adequately deal, from a Christian theology perspective, does it adequately deal with the issue that it raises there? And then in terms of, you know, the Christian's need to speak the message of both law and gospel and the Christian's right to speak that. And then let's deal with it kind of aesthetically. How well does it make that point in terms of the film? How good of an answer theologically does it give?
The answer theologically is maybe not as clear as it needs to be in the end. I think that one of the things about this film is it wants to be about apologetics, and that's the first film was about that too. Now, apologetics, that's making a reasoned argument, justifying something. So typically that is used in terms of Christian apologetics. So making a reasoned argument about the truth claims of Scripture, the truth claims of the Bible. So in the first film, it was in a college university kind of setting in a lecture hall between an atheist professor and a student who wouldn't sign a document saying that God was dead because they believed in God. They believed in Jesus. Now, in this one, they want to, again, make these kind of apologetic arguments. One of the challenges, though, in doing that is that even just talking about apologetics is that it's a reasoned argument. And anyone who sees this film and the previous film will quickly, I think, hopefully see that it's a melodrama. And melodramas, they're sensational dramatic pieces with exaggerated characters. And a melodrama really appeals to the emotions. So you have the kind of movie it is working across purposes with what it's trying to accomplish. So on the one hand, you have the apologetic angle, reasoned arguments running up against an appeal to the emotions and sensational dramatic kind of stuff with very exaggerated characters. So it kind of maybe gets lost in the shuffle as to how well it answers the question at hand. That's the part that is unfortunate. There are a couple of shining moments in there in the courtroom setting where they have authors like Lee Strobel and J. Warner Wallace there to talk about apologetics. And those are kind of really interesting moments, but they're cameos and they're kind of just tucked into the whole film as a whole.
So they're bringing in, for lack of a better word, professional Christian apologists to play these roles in the courtroom to kind of make that case.
Yeah, and they play themselves. So a viewer of the movie could then go look up these people and find their books and read them or check them out on YouTube and find in more detail what they would say. So there's that kind of positive element.
How does the film both deal with the arguments of and then kind of in terms of the character sketch of the opponents of this religious liberty?
This is where I think maybe the film has the most trouble, is that going back to what 1 Peter 3 says, so Peter in 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. But then the verse carries on and says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So the people who are kind of asking for this reasoned response, this reasoned argument about Christianity and its validity within a classroom setting, these are, within the context of this film, these are portrayed very clearly as atheists. And the problem is that the movie itself does not treat atheism or atheists, particularly the characters in this film who are atheists, with gentleness or respect. And I think that as Christian viewers watching the film, maybe this is something that we would really want to pay attention to, because it turns the whole movie kind of more focused in on the self-pity for being persecuted, and away from loving these people who are opposed to the truth of Christ. So, for instance, the student asking the question in the classroom is actually a character who is deeply distressed at the death of her brother, and she's grieving. She does not come from a family that's a Christian family. It's an atheist family, and she wants relief in her grief. Her parents are atheists, and they're shown to be very kind of callous and not grieving anymore. And it's only been 6 months, and really all Christians know that the people in their lives who are not Christians, they grieve the death of loved ones too. And the movie doesn't provide a round picture of people who would still be very upset at the loss of this son. So it kind of paints them as these, you know, heartless individuals, and that's probably not going to be the best approach. Likewise, with the prosecuting attorney, is like way over the, just an amazingly kind of mustache-twirling villain, that they have a two-dimensional villain played by Ray Weiss, who had played Leland Palmer in the Twin Peaks TV series years ago, but he's a villain in this, and, you know, literally says that he hates people who have Christian faith. They don't try to show much more than that. He's a very two-dimensional character, just a villain to be knocked down. And I think that runs afoul of what St. Peter says in 1 Peter about giving your defense with gentleness and respect. And this movie kind of doesn't really do that.
It sounds like while it does portray kind of the voice of reason on the side of a Christian witness and religious liberty, it fails utterly to do that on the side opposed to it, or even someone who kind of would have a principled opposition to a teacher talking about the Christian faith in the public classroom. Does not provide that character anywhere in the film.
Not really. I mean, the only person in the film, there is the actor who plays the character of the defense attorney. And this is where the movie kind of shows a little bit of restraint, because by the end of it, they don't have the defense attorney becoming Christian. He's shown as not being a Christian. He's not a believer. And at the end, they don't have him become a believer. They don't have that definitive moment for him as a character within the film. And that shows a little bit of restraint, I suppose. He's played by a guy named Jesse Metcalf. He's not this violent atheist character who is vehemently against Christ. Where they have these atheist characters who are just so hard, they don't provide any care to that character to define them in any way. And this goes back to the exaggerated nature of the characters, which puts it back into that category of melodrama and not just pure drama.
When we come back, we're going to deal with a question that Pastor Giese poses about this movie and, well, other movies like it. What does a viewer do when this noble, good, and right scriptural truth found in a movie like God is Dead 2 is nonetheless wrapped up in a mediocre movie? Why do you ask that question, and what's the answer? We'll be right back.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God himself. The knowledge of his perfected humanity, the knowledge of the measure of his total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the word and sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, doxology.us. Doxology.us.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the movie God's Not Dead 2. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, you ask a question. I want to know why you ask it and what the answer to the question is. You say, what do viewers do when this noble, good, and right scriptural truth is wrapped up in a mediocre movie? Why do you ask that, and what's the answer?
I think that when we watch movies, it's good to ask questions like this. It's just good to ask the question. I mean, if you're seeing a movie and you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is maybe not exactly what my atheist friend or my, you know, the people in our lives who are atheist on a bad day and agnostic on a good day, if this is not going to touch them in some way, you know, we need to ask this question. So what would I suggest, like, what should we do if that's the case? If this very noble, good thing is wrapped up in a mediocre movie, I think first thing you need to do is pray that someone will endeavor to make a more thoughtful film dealing with Christian apologetics and civil liberties. So a movie recently that was very good at taking Christian faith and looking at a very hard topic that impacts Christians was the movie Spotlight that won Best Film at the Oscars this last year. Another thing to do is to let a movie like God's Not Dead 2 be a reminder to seek out credible sources on the topic of apologetics. So just have those at hand, look into those yourself, be ready to make that defense to friends and family and strangers, whoever that might be. And then the third thing is, if the movie is just not really actually that good, even though it's a good thing that the movie is addressing, don't feel guilty. Don't be guilted into saying that the film is good just because the topic is important. I think as discerning Christians, we can still say that, you know, this over here is good, this over here is mediocre, that over there is not that good. And then lastly, of course, you know, God's Not Dead 2 is actually a better movie than the first God's Not Dead film. It's just not yet a really good movie in, I think, what looks like maybe a continuing franchise.
With that in mind, what's driving the franchise? Why are movies like God's Not Dead 1, 2, why are they made?
You know, I think there is a desire, like on behalf of Christians, to see their Christian faith being portrayed in film. So there's a market there, you know, and I think that that's a good thing. Not every film that tries to fulfill that does the best job of getting the fullness of the Christian faith across on film. Ironically, there was a film that came out recently called Hail Caesar, made by two Jewish guys, the Coen brothers, which did a remarkable job showing a devout Christian in their daily life working in a studio for a movie studio. But that wouldn't really fit probably in the same category as this, in that people aren't going to be counting it amongst movies like Miracles from Heaven and God's Not Dead 2 or even stuff like Heaven is for Real or things of that nature. It wouldn't be counted in there. And yet, it's a very good one. So I think that there's a possibility, potential out there for really hitting one out of the park in this regard. God's Not Dead 2 yet is not really there. It's nobly principled, but not quite where it would be best to be.
It sounds like you're really saying here, well-intended, excellent subject matter, poorly executed.
Excellently executed if you're looking for a melodrama, because it does have the exaggerated characters, it does appeal to the emotions, but I think that it runs cross purposes with the goals of apologetics. So it just doesn't come across that way. And again, if you're looking for a really good courtroom drama, this is more like Matlock and not like Law and Order. This is not A Few Good Men. It's not 12 Angry Men. It's not movies like that. It's just not that kind of movie. So if you're looking for a melodrama, if you love the Hallmark holiday specials and things like that, you're gonna love this. But it's not probably going to get the job done when it comes to reasoned arguments and people embracing them.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of God's Not Dead 2 and God's Not Dead at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.